Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR, practice management, and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts? 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today. Therapy Chat Podcast, episode 491.
This is the Therapy Chat Podcast with Laura Reagan, LCSWC. The information shared in this podcast is not a substitute for seeking help from a licensed mental health professional. And now, here's your host, Laura Reagan, LCSWC.
Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and this week I'm sharing with you a beautiful conversation with a guest who's been on Therapy Chat a few times before, the wonderful Deb Dana. In our conversation, we talked about the profound impact of polyvagal theory on our understanding of emotional regulation, co-regulation, and connection. We talked about the role of nature in fostering a sense of safety and the significance of recognizing micro moments of joy and connection in our daily lives, which are happening even when things are hard, awful, horrific, terrifying. There can be moments, tiny moments of joy and connection, and that's what helps us sustain our connection to our humanity in such difficult times. We talked about the importance of vulnerability in relationships and how challenging it is to navigate dysregulation, especially when we're traumatized. We also touched on the idea of hacks and the pretty strong messaging on social media about regulation and somatic regulation, which is only part of the picture. We talked about how do we find our way through these times that we're living in. And as always, when speaking with Deb, I felt connected to a sense of hope that a better world is possible, one human connection at a time. I hope you will enjoy this conversation, and I hope you will find some inspiration here. Thank you, as always, for listening. Hi, welcome back to Therapy Chat. I'm your host, Laura Reagan, and today I'm so happy to be joined again by one of my favorite guests to speak to, someone who's been here on Therapy Chat multiple times, Deb Dana. Deb, thank you so much for coming back to Therapy Chat today.
I am really happy to be back. And I have to say, when I show up and I see your face and your smile, my nervous system just feels very welcomed. So thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what people say about you. That, and it's not just your smile, it's literally your presence. You have it's like being around you. I've been around you, so I've felt it myself in person, but also even here, just through the screens. It's like there's a groundedness and a warmth that comes from you. And that's what I think, you know, I think of when I think about how polyvagal theory is really powerful, because we're drawn toward that.
Yeah. We're talking about that beautiful ventral energy. And when I teach and when I talk to people, I say ventral energy is an unopposable force, right? You feel it and you get drawn toward it. And then your system begins to you know, resonate with my system. And we co-regulate, which is, again, the joy of being human is finding safe others to be with and connect with. So, yeah. And I love that it's driven by our biology. And what I tell people is every human has a ventral vagal system wired into their biology. And once we learn to you know, find our way home to it and be in it, you know, a bit longer or a bit more frequently, we then put that energy out into the world, which is a lovely thought right now in the world. It ripples out into the world.
Yes, I've been alluding to this kind of lately by mentioning to listeners that at any time, but in this current time as well, when everything feels scary and unsafe, what we can do, even when we feel like there's nothing we can do, is to connect with others. And when we connect, you know, it does have a ripple effect. It does ripple out.
Yeah. And I think, you know, we talk about connection. We talk about what's the you know, opposite of that is loneliness. And loneliness is a worldwide epidemic. And loneliness, again, is felt in your physiology, has physiological impact as well as psychological impact. So if we can find others that we feel that sense of safety with, then our nervous system comes into that place of regulation and we begin to have access to curiosity and compassion and problem solving and organization and all the qualities of a regulated nervous system that are only possible when we have, you know, what I like to say, a toehold in that state of regulation. And I think, you know, if we think about toeholds, I'm happy that my nervous system can find regulation for short moments in time, right? Because even today, as I was saying earlier, I get up thinking today's a good day. I've got a good to-do list. I'm going to work my way through. And not too far into my morning, my system was feeling heavy and drained. And some of that other energy, the dorsal collapse energy of why bother? Give it up. You're never going to get there, which I find so fascinating because I'm really good at noticing, naming, and even finding my way back to home and ventral to regulation. I've been doing this a long time. It's what I teach, but my nervous system dysregulates as easily as everybody else's in these days we're living in right now. And it was like, wow, it did not take much for my resilience to be tested and for me to go, no, I'm not sure what I need to do right now, but it's not my to-do list. So for me, it was take a moment, you know, organize this stack of papers so that it at least feels organized and look out my kitchen window where I could see the nature. Those to me, organizing and seeing nature brought me enough of a sense of regulation so that I could then keep going. But it's those tiny moments. Right. And the tiny moments are, I think, what we should be looking for right now, not great, big, huge, long experiences. I don't know about you, but I don't find those very often.
Especially lately. And thank you for that. What you just shared, there was so much that came up for me when you were sharing that. I mean, when you said about organization and looking out the window at nature, I feel like you're describing, you know, as your polyvagal ladder, you came up with that concept, and it's literally the most helpful thing for me about polyvagal theory to understand from the beginning as a therapist and as a human. So you're talking about how you were in dorsal, and then the organizing is like a more mobilized energy. So that's the sympathetic activation, like bringing you up out of dorsal. And then nature, which I'm looking out my window at the trees in my backyard, which are so grounding to me throughout every day, we can connect with nature as another being. It's like it's a living, nature itself is a living being and a living energy that we can tune into ventral with. So you don't even have to have another human there.
Right. We co-regulate with nature. We co-regulate with others, with nature, with our own inner experience, the parts of us we can co-regulate, and with spirit, right? So there are lots of pathways that we can think of as co-regulating. We do need to remember that we need another mammalian nervous system in that menu of co-regulating choices, right? Nature, trees, flowers,
so it's our
are wonderful, and we need
self-energy or inner wisdom that we're tuning into through connecting with nature.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know. I mean, I think I know lots of people. I have a dear friend who connect, you know, really feels the co-regulation with trees. As
I
you
do.
As you may as well. And yeah. I believe that. It is, you know, it is a, to him, to you, perhaps trees are living beings that you are co-regulating with. We just want to add in, we also want a mammalian system that has this social engagement piece wired in.
Okay.
So it's a both and. You know, it's not an either or. It's like, yeah, every way. I'm an ocean person.
Me
right?
too.
And
me
so
too.
Probably for me, when I am by the ocean, I feel the rhythm of the waves, and I can feel it in my being. So that's a, you know, co-regulation with the sea, I suppose, which is lovely. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like the pulse of Earth, you know? I mean,
yeah.
Some people are probably like, what is she talking about? But to me, I mean, when I'm at the ocean or any body of water, the tide and the rhythm of the waves and the sound and the ground there, it's like my system. I always say it's a soul home. I can't.
Yes. Yes.
I can't be dysregulated. Even though I may be upset about something, it may not change what I am grappling with emotionally, but I'm tuned in. I'm grounded.
Yeah.
I'm feeling what is here in myself when
absolutely
I'm tuning into.
Yeah.
And it's like, for me, it's mountains, trees, and water. So
I love it. You are multitasking there. I love it. Mountains, trees,
I don't know.
Water.
It's just,
that's beautiful. Mine really is by the sea. That is my place. And I also call it a soul home. I wrote about that. It's the place where when you're there, you just know. It's an embodied knowing, right? Yeah.
Yeah, because I didn't know you said that, and I just say it because that's what
it feels like
to me, not something I've heard.
Yeah, yeah. And I like how you talk about the pulse. I think a lot about rhythm. Rhythm is the way I think about how I'm moving through the world. And so if we think about that, my rhythm this morning when I woke up was like this. It was this lovely sort of flow, and it had a beautiful rounded shape to it, and I could feel it. And then, you know, by the time it got sort of jagged, and I could feel it. And I thought, ooh, what's going on here? And then it went to that, you know, and it's still moving a bit, but it's very flat sort of for me. And so then you're right, it came back up with some organization and then back to some rhythm. And then with you, it's this, right? I can feel this, the your system and mine, you know, communicating, which is lovely. But, you know, that's all in the course of like, you know, 2.5 hours. Right. Think about, we do that all the time, every day.
Right. Our systems are always responding to what's happening internally and externally.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, to be curious about that, to be accepting in some way, to know that is normal and expected, that getting to regulation is lovely, but it's not, you know, the end product we're looking for. We're looking for knowing, where am I? What do I need in this moment? And then how do I find my way back to regulation? Because if you think you have to be regulated to be healthy and regulated all the time to be healthy, that is one of the things you probably should just give that up now, because it is impossible to do. Can't do it. Not, and we don't even want to do that. We want to appreciate our nervous system as it moves down and up that ladder, because it's doing that in response to what it's taking in through neuroception to say, are you safe or not? What needs to happen now?
Yeah. There's so many things about this that I think are still really hard to grasp especially when we've had trauma and we kind of live in a space of maybe we aren't familiar with the feeling of not feeling unsafe.
Yeah.
So we don't even know how much we're operating from that, you know, our system sensing danger and threat much/most of the time. And again, right now, there are many signals for a traumatized nervous system to feel very unsafe.
Yes.
And many of them, you know, they're not just overreactions. Many of them are real threats.
anything that's unpredictable or unfamiliar is pretty commonly a cue of danger for any nervous system. And for a nervous system that is still holding unresolved trauma, you know, that sensitive nervous system, the world is filled with cues of danger right now. It is for most everybody, but especially if you're holding that early experience. So the familiar cues of danger come up all the time. Right. And then our nervous system simply takes us into an adaptive survival response because that's its belief that that's where you'll be safe, whether it's sympathetic anger, anxiety, or whether it's dorsal collapse, disconnect, or we do this down and up all the time. So that is going on in the world all over the globe right now because of what's going on in our world, right? We have a dysregulated world. We have dysregulated nervous systems. Then we have collectively dysregulated nervous systems, which, you know, is really hard to be around because you feel it. You know, again, below the level of conscious awareness, you feel the dysregulation, and then your brain makes up a story to try and make some sense of what's going on. That's the brain's job. Right. So when you said, you know, most or much of the time in feeling under threat, that's where these micro moments of okayness come in. And that's where, you know, I first started working with this with my trauma survivor clients in the beginning, because you go to therapy because you're suffering. And so we focus on reducing, resolving what the suffering is about or where it's coming from. But we forget that in order to really thrive, not just survive, but thrive, we also need to actively experience safety, right? And you're right, for many people, we have to have that moment of feeling the embodied safety so we can compare it to the embodied danger. Because safety is not a cognitive experience. You can't think your way to safety. You have to, your nervous system takes you there. And that's where those tiny micro moments came into being in my early work, because my clients would have these tiny moments of feeling okay. And okay was all I was looking for. Not safe or beautiful or zen, but just okay. Tiny moments. Often it was when we were together in my office, in that space where they felt they could relax, take a breath for a moment. Tiny moment of ventral. And we started tracking those, because that, I truly believe, I think those moments are available to us and they're sort of all around, but we don't pay attention to them. So when we could learn to pay attention, then my clients would come back and say, oh, I had a moment when, you know, it was like I heard a bird sing, the sun came out. You know, I had clients who loved the storms that we get in Maine, and they would say, did you not just love that beautiful? And it was like, there's your moment, right? So we can find them. And then our system begins to realize that, oh, there are these tiny moments, and they begin to accumulate and build.
Yeah. There's something about what you just said, where you said, I'm feeling so emotional during our conversation. I just have to say, I'm just like, okay, tears, whatever.
Right.
But I think it's because it's moving. It's moving to think about this for me. And we're thinking about connection. But I'm going to go back to what you said. Did you not notice that beautiful storm? It's like they noticed it, but also they want to share it with you. And you are having a moment of connection just in them sharing with you about that storm.
Yes.
These are such subtle, tiny
things. And again,
we can
they're
so fast in our work. You know, we have to be slow to notice.
Right. And they're based on the science of the nervous system, right? Yeah. Because when you said share, one of the things we know is co-regulation is necessary for well-being. And so if a client, one of the things we did was they would begin to mark the moments. They would begin to keep a list or, you know, send me a message or whatever they wanted, however they wanted to do it. And then we would talk about them the next week, because that was the pull. And as they were talking about them, I could feel them come alive for them and for me most of the time. Although sometimes they're what I call glimmers. That's what we call these micro moments. Their glimmers were not a glimmer for me. And that was okay too. Right. That's what we want to remember, that, you know, you might have a glimmer that for your system just really fills you for a moment. And for my system goes, oh, no, thank you. Perfectly fine. Right.
I don't know. There's something for me about like what, how our system lights up with the person wanting to share it too. You know, it's like, even, yeah. even if it's not like it's the shared connection of,
yep.
Didn't you? Because for me, actually, I find thunderstorms, sometimes I feel scared during thunderstorms. I think it brings up like childhood memories of being afraid when, you know, there's loud thunder and I'm like, what's going to happen? If someone says, oh, that thunderstorm was so cool, it does not feel cool to me. But the fact that they want me to know that makes me feel like, oh,
you can appreciate something together. Yes. You can appreciate how it landed for them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's really, as humans, that's really what we're appreciating. How did that land for you? Right. Here's how it lands for me. How did that land for you? That's the beauty of connecting, right? Getting to know, right? That's which deepens a friendship, deepens a sense of, oh, we're in this together. Right. Yeah.
Right. And even in therapy, as one is the client in therapy, you know, what we're doing is practicing these little moments of allowing a little more vulnerability, taking a chance that will be understood, and this nervous system match or mismatch, just like in all of our relationships, is constantly like, is this right? Is this right?
Yeah. And it's interesting because when you're talking about, you know, thunderstorms, and my system loves them and yours maybe not sometimes. And the fact that there can be a mismatch in the experience, but an attunement in our nervous systems is amazing, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lovely learning for both of our systems, that we don't have to both, you know, love the same thing, and yet we can really feel connected. For many of my clients, that was a beautiful, they call them autonomically disconfirming experience, because they have an expectation that unless you agree, something bad will happen. Right. Yeah.
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 That's really relevant to the current time that we're in as well, because it feels like this happened, I don't know. It's almost like it began to develop in around 2015, 2016, in the like lead up to the election and the way that people were talking about things. There were certain words that if you heard someone say, it's like, oh, they support the other candidate. And then it gives this, oh, not safe to talk with each other. And then the same thing happened again. And I know this is by design, because we know that there was literally social engineering, or you could even call it like psychological warfare, that was happening through the way these messages were being conveyed during the time from 2020 through at least 2022. You know, whether or not someone thought that they should be masking in public, or whether or not someone was vaccinated against COVID, or even where one lived, with the differences in state policies. And there was so much, how can we keep ourselves safe? And who is the enemy? You know, and I've never been so acutely sensitive to literally a word. Oh, yeah. You know, not safe. And yet, if I go to the grocery store today and, you know, I see someone walking with their cart who's already shopped, I might say, I could take that in for you. And I don't care who they voted for, or I'm not thinking about their views on, you know, a number of super important social issues. There's a level of connection as humans. And again, it's like if we had a car accident, you don't ask the person who you want to help, again, who they voted for, what their political views are. It's more of a shared human connection that's at such a deeper level than that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I love thinking about that when you were saying, you know, we could say, well, I can take that cart in for you. It helps that person. It helps the people who collect all the carts. There's a lot of benefit there. And I can imagine the other person receiving that as a kindness, and what that does in their system, how that lands for them. And then they get in their car with a different experience in their biology. I love that. Yeah. because really for me, moments. I'm always thinking about biology. That's where it starts, right? That's where we can, because when we are in that sympathetic me against you, us against them, we can't connect. We're, you know, we can connect with people who we've identified as our group, but everybody else is the enemy. Again, not because I've not chosen that. My biology has chosen that, right? And it's interesting to think, so how do we change that? We don't change that by arguing with someone, right? We right. change that
fighting.
By, right, fighting or trying to convince them, right? I can make you see it my way. It's like, well, I am only open to even listening to what you're saying if I'm in enough of that regulated state. If my biology has taken me to sympathetic fight or flight, anger, anxiety, I am biologically unable to listen. That's just a fact. I can't. It's not that I don't want to. I cannot do it. And in dorsal, I'm not really here. I mean, I look like I am, but I'm not really here. So you can talk all you want. It's not landing right. anywhere. So again, if we simply come back to our nervous system, the question isn't really, how can I change their mind or how can I convince them? The question is, what does their nervous system need to feel a little bit safer, a little more welcome in the world right now? And that's, again, where we go to those tiny moments, because that's all I can reach for in this time. It is exhausting to make it through a day. It is scary. It is hard work. And for me to think I need to really be regulated this day in order for it to be a good day. And I think people think about good, bad, it's a good day or bad day, right? We could get rid of that too. We could say it's a day where I had more or less regulation. Now, here are the moments that I'm going to reflect on and really savor, right? That's the benefit of these small moments, is that they you can return to them. You can bring them back to life. At the end of the day today, I could go back and think about our time together, and it's going to bring me warmth in my heart and a smile, because that's mm-hmm. what I'm feeling now, mm-hmm. right? So I get the benefit of it again. It's lovely. Yeah. And I guarantee you the rest of my day is not going to be all warmth in my heart and smiles because it's a regular day where we do a lot of different things. Yeah.
There's so much talk about women's hormonal health, but most women are left even more confused about what it means for them and what to do about it. This confusion ends now. Hormone Harmony is a game changer for women struggling with hormonal imbalances that leave them exhausted both physically and mentally. It only contains science-based ingredients that bring back comfort, energy, clarity, confidence, and a sense of balance. Happy Mammoth, the company behind this phenomenal formula, has helped over 2.4 million women get their lives back and feel like themselves again after years or even decades of hormonal imbalances. What makes this formula unlike anything else on the market is that it tackles multiple hormonal imbalances at the same time, creating a cascade of benefits all throughout the body and mind, leading to better mood, more energy, and deep comfort. The reviews are unbelievable. Over 50,000 women are raving about better energy, deeper sleep, feeling more balanced and calm, reduced bloating, and more. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code chat at checkout.
Today's episode is sponsored by Psychotherapy Networker and PESI. If you're a therapist, be sure to check out the partner page, which is linked in the show notes, where you can get discounted trainings with previous Therapy Chat guests like Courtney Armstrong, Dr. Leslie Korn, Dr. Ariel Schwartz, Dr. Tammy Nelson, Dr. Janina Fisher, Rebecca Case, Dr. Peter Levine, Dr. Lindsay Gibson, Deb Dana, Lori Gottlieb, and many, many others. You'll find the link in the show notes to my partner page with PESI and Psychotherapy Networker, where you can find all these discounted training. If you need CEs, this is a great place to go.
We all know how hard it can be to eat healthy without feeling like we're giving up flavor or fun. Washington Red Raspberries are a clean, simple, and seriously delicious way to add more nutrition to your day. They're American grown, picked at peak ripeness, and frozen within hours to lock in nutrients like fiber, antioxidants, and vitamin C. And they have no added sugar, just fruit as nature intended. And the best part, they're being harvested and frozen right now by family farms in Washington State. So when you buy American grown frozen raspberries, you're getting fresh off the field flavor, all year long. I like using frozen American red raspberries in my smoothies. They taste fresh, juicy, and full of flavor because they're grown in nutrient-rich soil and frozen at peak ripeness. Whether you're trying to clean up your snacks or build better meals, these berries are a total win. Want to discover new ways to use American frozen red raspberries and get more details on where you can grab a bag? Go to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. Next time you're at Costco, Kroger, Meijer, or Winco Foods, make sure to check out products made with Washington red raspberries and be sure to look for product of the U.S. on the bag.
Therapy Notes is consistently transforming the way therapists manage their practices with continuous updates designed to save money and improve efficiency. Their latest game changer, Therapy Fuel, a powerful and fully integrated suite of AI tools that streamline documentation so you can focus more on your clients. With AI features that help by generating progress notes from summaries or transcriptions, creating contact notes directly from clients' secure messages, and automated summaries of client history forms, Therapy Notes users are already reporting hours of saved time and energy. Some other recent feature improvements include automated recurring client payments, electronic secondary insurance billing, and their constantly expanding library of outcome measures. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
That's so kind that you say that. It does make me feel really good that you feel that way about it. And, you know, we've talked about this before. It just feels comfortable talking with each other, and that's really nice. I felt stressed before we started our interview. I felt like I had a lot to do today. I had another interview ahead that I needed to do some reading for. But then when we came on camera, I just found myself, I playfully started singing to you a good morning song, you know, and very out of tune. And then I right away noticed some tears come to my eyes, just because as I sit with, you know, a connection with another kind human, you know, even that brings like the presence of, there's a lot of sadness that I hold too. And so even just to be present right now, there's a lot of sadness, there's a lot of fear, and we can have moments of connection and feeling regulated and dysregulated. So I did want to touch on that. There's so much. I find it actually really great how much information there is out there on social media in educating people now about self-regulation, nervous system regulation, polyvagal theory. And I also feel like there are a lot of kind of like hacks, which of course, you know, it's a 1 minute video. How comprehensive can it be? But on the other hand, they're sort of disconnected. So it's sort of disembodied. It's little disembodied fragments for embodiment and regulation.
Right.
So I feel like sometimes people might get the message that, you know, if you do it right, you can get regulated and you can be regulated, and then you're a regulated person and not a dysregulated person. And that's what we should all be striving for. So I'd love for you to talk a little more about that biology that you've already been sharing about.
Yes. And I will say, I'm going to just put out there in the beginning, I am on no social media. So I get people.
You probably have no limited idea of how much.
Exactly. Yeah. I do. But some of my colleagues will send me things and say, what do you think about this? And I was like, ooh, because you're right. It feels like it's a shortcut to regulation with the belief that regulation is the place to be. Right. So we got a bunch of different things going on there that the nervous system would not be in agreement with. Like the nervous system says, you know, regulation is where you end up. I think nervous system has an inherent longing to be in regulation. I would say that, and knows how to get there, and will only take us there when the cues of safety outweigh the cues of danger in our world. Right, our personal world in this moment in time. So if you are dysregulated, the first thing I love people to do is turn toward your nervous system and say, what's happening? Right? There's a reason for this, right? What's going on that my nervous system said, ooh, dysregulation is what's needed for survival in this moment. Right. So and you say hack, I think it is sort of a, you know, we have these hacks going on to get to regulation. Yes, regulation is helpful, and we have to know why we dysregulated, right? And so I do want to have ways I can count on in the moment that will help bring me a bit of regulation. Because when I am totally in sympathetic fight, flight, or dorsal disconnect collapse, that's all I can do. So I need to have a bit of ventral available to me. But I build that over time. It's a slow, patient, persistent process for me to know this helps me come back, like looking out the window, right? Is a way I can count on something's going on out there, and it will at least bring me a drop of that sense of regulation. And dysregulation is adaptive, right? So the nervous system doesn't work on a good, bad. Our brain make up the motivation, the meaning, all of that. So if we can invite our brains to step aside, nervous system is simply taking you where it thinks you need to be in this moment to be safe enough to survive. And that's really what we're looking for. And when we find those pathways back to ventral, then we can be curious about our dysregulated patterns. We all have them, right? And what are those patterns? We can be curious and we can partner with our nervous system. But to always want to get out of dysregulation and just be in ventral does a disservice to your biology, right? And I will say the other thing, your nervous system's not going to allow that to happen, right? Your nervous system says it's going to get more and more activated, may take more and more intense action if you are always trying to escape, because it says, listen to me. I'm giving you information. Please listen. That information is necessary for you to make changes. And the change is not to, you know, plunge your face in cold water, right? That's not what we want to do every time we're feeling dysregulated. We want to be able to turn toward and say, ooh, what do I need to know, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, the other thing I do want to say, that because I do talk about glimmers. Glimmers, I understand, are all over social media. Somehow they escaped the therapy office and are now out there and running wild in the world, which is lovely. I'm all for glimmers being out there in the world. Yeah, right. I'm all for them being out there in the world. And I want to say that when I started looking for glimmers with my clients, it was not to turn away from their suffering, turn away from their trauma. That's not what glimmers do. Glimmers, and they don't do anything to change what is activating you. They're a totally separate pathway from that. What they do is remind you that glimmers are possible, that regulation is there, and they build the capacity for you to find your way back to regulation when you're dysregulated. And that then builds the capacity to turn toward your trauma and work with it. So there was a whole reason why we want to focus on these micro moments so that we can process trauma, right? And so we don't want to lose that awareness when we're looking for glimmers. We don't want to think, oh, this is going to take care of everything. It's not toxic positivity. What it's doing is it's helping you remember your nervous system is exquisitely able to hold both. And as you hold, you know, a moment of regulation, you have more capacity to be with the suffering.
Yeah, that is so beautiful. And that's so meaningful for me, like with glimmers. That's what they do. They allow us to be with what we feel the need to get away from because it's so intolerable. That's the whole dilemma of trauma,
right?
That there's something trying to get our attention and we can't tolerate it. So we're trying to get away from feeling it. And, you know, that's what makes our nervous systems feel so,
Exactly. We either feel, as we're really pushing it away, or we're, you know, so anxious, we panic to get away. Or, you know, my home away from home, as you know, from our work, is that dorsal disconnect, float away, just collapse. Don't bother, give it up. Right. Mm. And our nervous system has those two choices. It's either the sympathetic fight, flight, or the dorsal collapse. And in service of helping you survive and not being with whatever is trying to come up, right? So we're trying to build a new pathway where we can, you know, have a bit of that regulation to tolerate being able to be with what the suffering wants us to know, what we need to learn from that and how we can then process it. Yeah, so turning toward is what we want to do. So if, you know, on social media, we're only learning the hacks to turn away from,
Let's make this go away as fast as possible. That's just like overriding, you know,
exactly what
the wisdom is that's here.
Exactly. Yeah. It used to be we'd take a pill or use a substance, and now we, you know, turn toward something beautiful. You know, it's all in the same sort of category of getting away from.
Bypass,
right? Mm-hmm. Override, turn away. So we want to use those moments of regulation to build the platform for turning back toward.
Mm. Yeah, I've said this with you before, but I want to say again, because I feel it's really relevant for everyone, you know, and I talked about that. I've got a lot of that, but I've got plenty of the also. And it's like, you know, I've described almost like long periods, maybe 6 months of life of feeling like being in a tunnel. Well, and I always say it doesn't feel like a tunnel. It feels like a black hole. And it feels like things are never going to be different and can't be different. And there's nothing that can happen to help. And glimmers, I often say, are like when you begin to go, wait a second, something's way out there.
Yeah.
Is that light colored thing? I'm in this blackness, but there's like a light colored thing. Is there something out there? And that's what like lets you see that you're in a tunnel. But, you know, when we can tune into what else is here, this is true. This is what I feel. And what else is available?
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that's a beautiful both and of our humanness, right? That I can be in the depths of despair and there can be a spark somewhere that catches my eye or catches my interest. Yeah. You know, I think about the grief journey I've been on where people have ideas about how you're supposed to navigate grief, right? And I have been happy that I know my nervous system because I'm following what my nervous system says. And there are those times when there are long stretches of that, ugh, right? And I trust that my nervous system, something is happening, right? And that's when I do notice, oh, a bird just sang, right?
Yeah.
Or there was this beautiful sound of the rain, right? Which doesn't then discount the grief process, but it adds to it's more than. And that, I think, is the gift of the nervous system. It's more than one state, one moment. It has these three states that it is moving in and out of in small ways all the time. If we can catch those moments, we're reminded that, oh, right. And in this moment in time we're living in, I think catching those moments reminds us that goodness does exist in the world, right? That kindness, right? I think the thing I used to think, do the right thing. I don't know what the right thing is sometimes now, but do the kind thing. I can figure that out. What's the kind thing to do for that nervous system, right?
Yeah. Well, I have to say, I've got it right here. I'm going to hold up your book. One of your many books. This Glimmers Journal is really a way to do exactly what you're talking about. Reflect on the small moments that bring you joy, safety, and connection. I have to say, I've got a page right here. It says, befriend a tree.
See, there you go. That's for you. Exactly.
I was like, oh.
Got that.
That's one of mine. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's, I love that, you know, I thought this was going to be kind of a, what are the glimmers that you notice? But I like that it's actually a little bit more prompting.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Here's something you can do.
Yeah.
Watch a creature fly.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like giving the type of unexpected, creative things that elicit curiosity just in the prompt.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, watch a living thing fly. What's out there?
Right. Yeah. And I think I love having a menu of things for my system. And I know the nervous system loves choice. So yeah. categories and prompts and then places for you to write your own. It just felt like that would be welcoming because, again, we're always looking for a way to invite the nervous system into an experience. No demand, no expectation, just an invitation. So a menu and a bunch of different ways to look for things is really what I was wanting to do. And it came out of people asking me all the time about glimmers. And I finally said, I probably could create something and people could then go explore on their own. So yeah, because really, I mean, that's my quest, I think, is to help people befriend their own nervous system and then learn how their nervous system works and go out in the world with their nervous system, you know, work with it. So, you know, that I think is what we humans are trying to do. We're trying to figure out our own experience, and our biology is a big part of that experience, you know, and it works around organizing principles that we've talked about a lot in polyvagal theory. And within those organizing principles, we each have our own way, right? You might go to a tree where I'm going to go and put my feet on the hot stone in my backyard, right? They're both getting us to the same place, but we're taking a different path. And I think that's beautiful.
Yeah. It's whatever resonates with each one, with their own experiences, where the place that they are in, the culture that they bring, the practices that are native to their being and their peoples. Yeah. All of those things.
Yeah. And probably especially needed in the challenging times we're living in right now. They're just challenging around the globe. The world is in a state of dysregulation, I think, right? Everywhere. And without enough people who can find their way to regulation, we can't engage in the conversations we need to have. We can't connect. Because when we're in a survival state, that's impossible to do. So again, every time I'm regulated and I am with others or even just walking through the world and feeling regulated, I think, the energy I'm putting out into the world. And other nervous systems are feeling that and are feeling perhaps a little bit safer. Right? That's within reach for me. I can do that. I don't know how to change the systems. Totally beyond reach. And when I think about that, I totally go to despair. But I can work with this system, and this system can then impact that system and that one and that one. So I like that image of the ripple going out there.
Yeah, I agree. I have to say, though, one thing about changing systems, it can feel impossible and hopeless to make change or for things to get better. And then when I'm in a certain grounded state, or maybe in ventral, I can think of what could be possible. You know, I mean, I think ventral gives us access to new ideas too, instead of just like, well, how are we going to make what's being broken back how it was, or how we think it's supposed to be, or well, what if a different way could be better? And this, you know, I actually had a dream about this, about, you know, that there's limitations to the way we look at things, and, you know, the structures that exist, we see them, and, you know, we have a lot of, some people have more and some people have less trust and belief in the structures that have been created, but the world is continuously changing, which can feel so threatening to our systems. And it's not like just, oh, well, I'll just watch and see what's going to happen and wait and hope somebody figures out what to do. But it's more like, what can we do? What can we come up with together? What can we collectively do versus let's fight them all, you know, like just like them, get them, like that whole.
Right.
That's just, gets you nowhere. That's just the endless wars that we've had over history, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. That creativity and seeing new options, hearing new stories can only happen from ventral. So that ventral energy brings it alive. And then we can, you know, move with purpose and passion and, you know, find a new path. only from ventral. So again, just all these reasons to find the micro moments and take a moment to notice them and celebrate them. Because even doing that for a few seconds makes a big difference in your biological system.
Yeah. And I always think too, they stitch together. They become more of a internal safety net, web of safety. I don't know. Something that grows and not, it's not these isolated moments.
No.
You know, like stars in the sky, they're connected. It's right. Constellations.
Right. Yes. Yeah, it's a lovely way to think about it. I think about gathering glimmers. We gather them and then they begin to you know, find their way into connection. And as that happens, the pathway to ventral just becomes easier to travel.
More accessible, more available. Yes.
Yes. Yeah. So that when I go to that place of hopelessness, I don't stay there for the next week. I look out the window and I'm back, you know, in an hour instead of what used to be probably 2 days. Right. And that's because my system has more access to that energy of regulation.
I am so grateful to you. You always explain we're talking about scientific concepts, but you explain these matters, these ideas in really understandable ways that are relatable and, you know, we can all put into practice in our lives. And that's one of the gifts that you bring to the world. I mean, think about the impact of that.
I hope. I you know, in talking with you and all your listeners who are then going to sort of notice, there's a moment, right?
Yeah.
That then fills me with hope, really. That is that place of the power and the promise of these micro moments of regulation, I think. So I'm going to hold on to that hope. So thank you. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Deb. Thank you, as always, for coming to Therapy Chat. I'm always so not only grateful, but nourished and enriched through our conversations. I really, really appreciate you.
Thank you. Right back at you. I appreciate you as well.
Thank you. Therapy Notes is the highest rated EHR practice management and billing software for mental health professionals. Its all-in-one platform is designed to streamline all aspects of your practice, from connecting with clients via secure messages to scheduling, notes, billing, and more. You can trust Therapy Notes has you covered. And one of the best parts, 24/7 customer service with a live person. It's beyond easy to get help over the phone or by email at any time of day from their knowledgeable and friendly representatives. The best time to give Therapy Notes a try is now. Sign up for your free trial by going to therapynotes.com, clicking Start My Free Trial, and accessing your first 2 months free with the promo code CHAT. See why Therapy Notes is the most trusted EHR for behavioral health professionals today.
Thank you for listening to Therapy Chat with your host, Laura Regan, LCSWC. For more information, please visit therapychatpodcast.com.